Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're on the very last line, the words Amar Abacha. So now the Gemara is going to relate a nice idea about wearing clothing. The Gemara says now, Amar Abachar Bar Abba Amar B'Yochanan, turning it on to the next Amud. Minayin L'Shino B'Gadim Minayin Torah. From where do I know Minayin Torah that a person, it's appropriate to change clothing? Rashi says, Derech Kavod Minayin Makom, that it's honorable, a nice thing to do, to wear nice clothing for special occasions, for nice things of Minayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, with regards to the Kohen, Upashas B'Gadav Elavash B'Gadim Acherim, that he's going to remove his garments and put on other garments when he's doing the Trumas Hadeshin, when he's doing the removing of the ashes. We know that Otsas Hadeshin was the first avodah they used to do in the morning. They used to get rid of the ashes in the Mizbeach. So the Torah tells you that when the Kohen used to do this act of removing it, he would change his clothing beforehand, wear different clothing, in order that he should wear less quality gold, not to ruin them. So therefore, we see that a person is supposed to change garments and wear more Chashav clothing when he's back in the Beis HaMikdash doing the normal avodah. So the Gemara says, and also Tanit of Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel used to say the following, Limnucha Torah Derech Eretz, that the Torah tells you that you should have proper conduct in your life. Begadim Shabil Shabban Kedir L'Rabba, when a person is serving his master and he cooks, he's a chef, so that's a certain type of clothing. However, Alim Zogban Kos Rabba, that same person shouldn't be the one who's pouring the cup. You should be dressed differently in a nicer manner. So again, the cooking the pot would be the Trumas Hadeshin, as opposed to when you're bringing the person who's the waiter who dresses nicely, wears a nice suit sometimes, or a tuxedo, whatever they're wearing, it's not going to be the guy wearing the chef outfit to go to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Same thing when a person's in a more chashuva level, so then the Torah is teaching you this concept that you should be wearing nicer clothing. So that is a very interesting thing. The post can bring down a shayla about, let's say, what person that Darius was wondering, if a person has a talis, a beautiful talis, and a really, really ugly talis for the weekday. So maybe he was saying, maybe you should keep it for the weekday, because we know the Zeke Levan Veil B'Pashas is a Jinn D'Oraisa also about his snail in front of mitzvahs to have a nice talis. And if you have a really ugly one all 6 days a week, you're not being Mekayim that, as opposed to this concept over here is only for Shabbos and potentially just not fully a din d'oraisa. Maybe it's only a remez. It's only an asmach l'b'yalma. So very interesting shaila that he brought up. If which one would take precedence? Would this be more chabadik to keep the Shabbos talis only for Shabbos, or if you don't have something a chashav at all for the weekday, would that be better than keeping it for Shabbos? Okay, interesting shaila comes out from the Gemara over here that a person should have very nice clothing and nice things for Shabbos also. So Gemara says now, Amar b'chia bar Abba Amar b'yochanan. That Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Chaya Bar Abba said to Rabbi Yochanan that it would be disgraceful for a Talmud Chacham, someone who's a big Talmud Chacham, to walk with these shoes that had like holes in them, or like they were patched up shoes into the shuk. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina did go out wearing these patched shoes, and yet you're going to assume that these patched shoes are a problem, so why would he wear them? He was a Talmud Chacham. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Eder, Rav Nachman B'Talai Agabe Talai. Now that when we assume that it's a disgrace, is only going to be if it has like multiple patches on it. However, Rabbi Acha's shoes, apparently they were not multiple patches, they weren't layered over, patched, therefore that would not be the issue. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "V'amar Rabchia bar Abba Amar Biyochanan Kol Tamed Chacham Shenimtza Rava Val Bigdo Chayev Misa." Any Tamed Chacham who has a Torah scholar, who has a garment that has grease stain on it, he's going to be Chayev Misa for wearing that in public. Shenemar the pasuk says, "Kol Misan Ayavu Maves." All those who hate me, referring to the Torah, they love death. I'll take misanai. Don't use a pasuk as misanai. Those who hate me, rather ela masniai. That tell you the lesson in the eye is that those who cause others to hate me. That if the Talmud Chacham is wearing these dirty clothing in the public view, everyone's going to say, "Oh, these are a person. This is what a person is. A yeshiva, a Talmud Chacham is a ben Torah. This is how he walks out." And a lot of times, unfortunately, nowadays that is content. People think that yeshiva bakrim are dirty. You're not clean at all. That is not a nice thing whatsoever, right? There was a famous story. I forgot which Rosh Yeshiva. He went to go visit his son, and he was going to visit. So he wanted to see how his son is doing learning in the yeshiva. So he went immediately first to the dorm room, and he saw that everything was folded nicely. Everything was masudar. His shoes were by his bed. His extra pair of shoes were by his bed, neatly put together. And he said, "I don't even have to go more to the base midrash." He didn't even see his son. He left and told Rosh Yeshiva, "I could tell that he's good because he's in neat fashion. A person that should be holding of a nice way of life. The person should be dressed appropriately." So a nice remez. There, Shlomo Zalman Orbach brought in the name of the Kutzker Rebbe. Actually, he says that Ravav is the gematria of 204, has the same gematria as the lashon of Tzaddik, and this is a remez that the person shouldn't just look like he's a tzaddik on the outside. That when it comes to his clothing outside, that it has to stain outside, it should be inside. It's talking about the person has to be shlemus both on his inside and his outside. That he has to represent both to the people outside that he's also a big tzaddik, also inside he should be a big tzaddik as well. And Rav Moshe was just asked a very interesting shayla, because in general we tell a person it's not for men that it's a shayla b'chal. I think the Shulchan Aruch holds his mamash beged isha d'oraisa. I don't remember it, I didn't look it up. The Shulchan Aruch, but it's not pashut that a man should be looking in the mirror, getting dressed, and looking. We know the whole sin of Yosef. It's not a good thing that's recommended for a man. So Rav Moshe was asked, what about a talmid chacham who wants to make sure that he looks good? Is it mutter for him to look in the mirror and check himself out to make sure that he looks good before going out in the morning wherever he's going to go? So Rav Moshe says that the whole idea here, yes, obviously a talmid chacham should look good, but he doesn't have to, you don't have to go look in the mirror for it. Just look at your clothing, do a basic check. That would be enough. You don't have to like make sure your tie is fit exactly. Just look nice. It can be done without looking in the mirror. So he thought that this is not enough of a heter to say that a person should be allowed to look in the mirror. Okay, the Gemara continues now. Ravina Amar Ravad Itmar. Ravina said the statement is dafkor from Rav Rashi says Shechva Zera. That's referring to man's seed, not necessarily any stain. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says Lapligi Ha Biklima Ha Bilavushe. That Rabbi Yochanan, he was dafka talking about a coat, and therefore in that situation when we're talking about a coat, even a little grease stain is going to be considered something that's dirty and everyone could see it and that's embarrassing, so you shouldn't go without. Halblavusha, when Ravina was talking about a shirt, so that's something that less people would notice, and therefore it would only be an issue if we're talking about shechvazera. And a pashtus, apparently that would only be that the shirt is not meant to be visible to the public. If people would be seeing a shirt, then it would be lechora any stain according to both of them would be problematic. Okay, the Mark continues. What does it mean when the pasuk says "Kasher lach avdi Yeshaya arum v'achef"? That my servant Yeshaya went naked and barefoot. Vashis Yeshaya did not actually go naked. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Arum be'begad and blue. It means that naked over here meant that he went with worn out garments. V'achef imnaim ham. And betulam, and a bear from when he went with these patched shoes. So at the end of the day, though, the marsha asked, "What do you mean?" But we just saw before, you're not supposed to go with patched shoes. Apparently, it was Hashem gave him a nevuah that to go against this din for talmid chachamim that he should be wearing the patched shoes in that context. So the Gemara continues. Now the Gemara says, "Tanah." So we learn in the Mishnah, Rav Amar de'achotzitz, that when it comes to we have hechos mikvah, so someone has when a person goes, when you're toveling anything to the mikvah, so the entire surface has to go into the body of the water of the mikvah. If there's something that's going to be a barrier, that is going to be called a chatzitza. That's going to be something that's a barrier, and that's going to passel the tefillah. So when it comes to something that's going to obstruct the thing, it has to be something that you don't want there, or also there has to be something that you're going to remove it at some point. So if you have what's called a miut ve'ina makbed, it's something that is a small amount, and you don't mind it. If you have it there, that would not create a chatzitza. That would not be something that because you don't have an issue having it there. So the Mishnah over here is talking about when you have if you have grease on the saddlecloth of a donkey. We're assuming over here that this Tana would hold that any grease stain, regardless of its size, is going to be a chatzitza because someone wants to remove it and you don't want it there. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Imer says, Omer ad ki isar atalki. He says, no, only if the grease stain is going to be the size of a isar atalki is the Italian isar, which is the size of, it's a coin. So type of roughly the size of whatever, let's assume like a penny or a quarter, something like that, that would create a stain. But less than that would not be a chatzitza. V'ala begadim, however, if it's a stain is going to be on your garments, you have to tovel again for tumah v'tara purposes. You have to tovel things. Mitzad echad ein chotzitz. If the stain is only on one side, it's not going to be a chatzitza. Mishnei tzad is not going to be a barrier. Mishnei tzad ein chotzitz, however, if it's on both sides, it would be a barrier, and therefore it would passel the tefillah. Because at that point, because people would find it disturbing to wear such a garment, so therefore, since people would not wear it, it's going to be chatzitza. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishnei Mishmel Af Mitzad Echad Chotzitz. Rabbi Yehuda said in Mishmel that even if it's on one side, it would consider a barrier because people would not want it there, and it would be something in which it would passel its tefillah. So the Gemara now says a question. Gemara says, "By Minei Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish from Rabbi Chanina." Rabbi Shimon Lakish asked Rabbi Chanina, "Mardas Mitzad Echad O Mishnei Son and Korita Mishmel? Does a stain on the saddlecloth, does it have to be on one side, or does it have to be on both sides? Meaning, how does Rabbi Shmuel hold that the stain of a garment is considered chatzitza? What would he hold about the saddlecloth? Does he consider it like a beged? Does he consider it like a garment in which that we're going to assume that even a stain on one side would be a chatzitza? Or maybe he's going to view it as when it comes to the saddlecloth in their garments, only which would only be a double-sided stain be a problem?" Mar says, "Amr lei." So they answered, "Zula shamati. I haven't heard a ruling about this specifically. Kiyotze b'shamati. However, I did hear something else. Disnan. We learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Shel benayim itzad echad. When it comes to the garments of benayim, there are going to be a chatzitza even on one side." So the Gemara now is going to say, "Vishel," we'll explain what the benayim are in a moment. The Gemara just goes back and continues the hemshich of the Mishnah. The Gemara Mishnah says, "Vishel bor mishnei tzadim," but that of a bor, someone who is a maaret, that is going to be only a stain if it's on both sides. Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, who said before that in the name of the Rishma, that one sided stain is going to be considered a chatzitza. He holds Rabbi Shmuel would make a chilek between the garments of Banaim, in which case that would be a chatzitza. And those of a bor is going to be someone who doesn't care about his cleanliness. So the Gemara now says, "Below say Mardas Chashuv Migdosh Shalom Haaretz." And then if that's the case, then the saddlecloth is not going to be any higher than the garments of a person who is a Am Haaretz, someone who doesn't know anything. In that context over here, the bor we're referring to is synonymous with the word Am Haaretz, right? Bor is usually someone who doesn't know anything. So here too, we're saying like that. So that if that's the case, then what does that mean? That we're going to say that if the beged is going to be two sided, it's going to create a chatzitza. So then obviously the saddlecloth is going to have to be two sided as well in order to make a chatzitza. So the Gemara now asks, "My benayim." That's how we really get onto this, because we were talking about Tamil Chachamim. So which the Gemara now asks, "What is benayim?" In the lashon of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking here. Ilo Tamil Chachamim shoskim b'vyanah shel olam kol yamei. These are talking about the Tamil Chachamim that are upholding the world all their days since they're learning Torah, and he's calling us to be immaculate. Even a stain on one side of his cloth is going to be a chatzitza. Just point that out over here is that this Mishnah seems to be more machlokes. Before we said before that only a grease stain. This Mishnah seems to say any type of stain and even on one side of your beged would be problematic. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ezo tamar chacham shemachzirin la'aveda betuyas ayin." So once you're mentioning tamar chachamim, the Gemara mentions to continue about a tamar chacham, your eternal lost object. To who are referring to that? And it comes to here, we're talking about an aveda that you can only just by seeing it. What's this concept? That normally when we have, you need to see money. You need to say, what exactly did it look like when a person has an aveda? You don't say, like, I have a watch. You don't say exactly the description, because the eye has to tell you the description of the watch. Oh, it was silver, it was gold, what color was it? In order that you shouldn't assume that he is lying. So however, if the person is a Talmud Chachamim, when it comes to Talmud Chacham, if he claims the object is his, he doesn't need to provide the siman. As long as he says that he recognizes the object, we're going to assume that he's an upright person, and he doesn't lie, and therefore we can accept it from him. So the Gemara is saying, who is this for? In this context, who is this going to be? The Gemara says now, "Zeh makbid al chaluk al avcha." It's going to be someone who's careful to make sure to turn around his garments if Rashi seems to assume over here that he's just careful to reverse his garments so that the seam and the edges don't become visible. So this is referring to here. This is careful. It's just following our concept that we said before, that Talmud Chacham is careful in how he dresses. This is a person who shows that he's a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Amar Biyochanan, who else? How do we see another getter who is a Talmud Chacham? Is a Talmud Chacham Shemana also Parnas al Tzibur? Who's a Talmud Chacham? Is she going to make him a leader?" The Gemara says, the al Tzibur on the community. The Gemara says, "Zeh Shemana also al Devar Alacha b'chol makom ve'omer ve'afilu b'mesechas kala." If a person, he's asked halacha in any area of halacha, he knows dalachak and shachanar cold, and can he answer in the Gemara? Even Maseches Kala, which Maseches Kala is a different level of brisos, which aren't as familiar. Rashi says there's the Kala. We start off a Kala b'bracha, asir gavanida, and all different brisos, the random ideas. So that those brisos, even if he knows those, that apparently according to Rashi is going to be what I'm talking about. Tosas as a kasha, that's not something that's so hard. Okay, Tosas, but the Maaseh, that's what something it's supposed to be something that's not clear to everyone. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. The Maaseh says, "I'm Rabbi Yochanan." Who we refer to when we're talking about a Torah scholar, who the people should do his malacha for him. So Rashi points out what we're talking about over here, that when it comes to we hold that the Talmid Chachamim, the pasuk says, Rashi quotes there's a stira, the Gemara Yuma learns out a stira. The pasuk says, "V'asisa lecha aron eitz," and when referring to Moshe Rabbeinu creating the Aron, and another pasuk says, "Ve'asu aron atzei shitim," that they will make it, Kal Yisrael is going to make it. So the Gemara says, in order to answer the stira, the Gemara over there learns out that Moshe was originally obligated to make the Aron. However, the Kal Yisrael eventually took it over, and Moshe was a Talmid Chacham had to be able to learn. So we see from here that a person, in general concept, that when the people of the city should make it as much as possible, the Talmid Chachamim can be avoided by the worldly matters in order to be Osek in Torah as much as possible. Just kind of interesting. The Aron is a very holy thing also. And even that, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be learning Torah, was more chashev for him apparently. So we see that the culture again, when it comes to all the Mila Dalma for Talmid Chacham, the town should help them. So who is this Talmid Chacham? So the Gemara says, "Zeh Shemaneach Chafetzo ve'Osek b'Chafzei Shemayim." This one just, he himself, you see the way he conducts himself. He doesn't, not worldly matters whatsoever. He's a very basic living conditions. He has very basic life, very basic food. And that type of person, and only an osik in heavenly things, that type of person is someone who's considered a Talmid Chacham. Hanimile mitrach birifte. And this rule, again, is in order to provide him bread, that the kibbutz should provide him the necessities, and Rashi points out, and not necessarily luxuries, because again, he's not someone who's accustomed to that, someone who needs that. The Gemara now continues, Rabbi Biyochanan, ezu Talmid Chacham. So who is a Talmud Chacham in general? The Gemara says, "Kol shenu also halacha b'chol makom ve'umra." Anyone who has halacha in any dalach, and I can tell you the answer. The Gemara says, at the end of the day, Lamai Nafka, what's the difference if he's considered a Talmud Chacham or not? The Gemara says, Lavunei Pardes, let's see if you want to appoint him a leader over the community. The Gemara says, Ibechad Masechta Be'asre. If he's able, he's holding in one Masechta that he's, meaning if he's holding in the current Masechta that he's learning, and you can ask him that Shaila, but if you ask him a Shaila and he's learning Shabbos right now, you ask him Shaila Masechta, he might not know his answer right away, so then you can still put him in his own place, his own area. However, Bekule Tenei Bereish Masifta, if you can ask him any Gemara in Shas, and he knows any Gemara in Shas, so then you should be the Rosh Yeshiva. At that point, he is someone who is going to be chashuv enough to be considered the Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, the Gemara continues. The Gemara says now, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Elu Kelim Ba'Aliyar Nabayim Midas Hayam. So the Gemara now says, going back to the Banaim, the Gemara lists another answer of who is Banaim. The Gemara says that these are the people of the bathhouse attendants, that they were the Aliyar Nabayim Midas Hayam, that they came from a different country, because apparently they used to have these special towels that they were made of imported cloths, so they came from a different country to bring these cloths to the baths. So someone who would want to pay for this luxury of having the bathhouse and these special towels, he would want to make sure that those bath towels are clean. So this particular guy, according to these garments, if you want to total these towels, that's who the Mishnah is talking about. Even one side would create a chatzitza, because they're obviously makbid about these type of garments being stained, so they would, if there's a stain on them, it would be problematic to bring them to the mikvah. So the Gemara says, now the Mimra de Chavri, but that's assuming that these garments, the bathhouse attendants, are going to be considered white, because apparently that would be considered by a small stain. If it was colored, if it's just a small little stain, you wouldn't even notice, you wouldn't even care if you're using a colored towel. And where's the Hamar Alu Rabbi Yana the Banav? Rabbi Yana said to his children, Banai, my children, I'll take rid of Lobakilim, the Banav, Lobakilim, Shchorm. Don't bury me in white shrouds or in black shrouds. Why? If you give me the white ones and then in Olam Hayemes, then what's going to happen is, after 120, I'm going to be wearing these white clothing, but I mean, people are all black. Rashi describes it as like, it's going to be like you're in Gehenim, that everyone who's in Gehenim is going to be black, like the bottom of a cooking pot. So I'm going to be wearing this white, it look ridiculous. So therefore, I shouldn't do that. However, Shchorim, if you give me black, then Lakshad Shema Eske, then maybe I'm going to actually, in fact, merit to be in Gan Eden, where everyone is white, and things are very nice, and they're all like white. And in that circumstance, I'm going to be like a mourner amongst the Chasan, and therefore, that's not Shayach, because I want to look good, I want to look like them in the Olam HaEmes where things are good. So the Gemara says, Ella bekelim ha'aliyaran abayim minas hayam. Rather, you should bury me in these garments of the bathhouse attendants, which seemingly were colored ones. The Gemara says, Almas mukin, and don't we see from here that these garments are colored, because it's not white, not black. So the lechora, it should be, smuki literally means red. So Hashem is about colored garments. The Gemara answers, lo kasha. Habiglimet, the Rabbi Yana was referring to coats. Those are going to be colored. Habilivushe, whereas Rabbi Yoshim and Luck is referring to other garments, which are in fact white. So when we're talking about that the coats were made from imported material, those materials dyed. That is what we're assuming over here. The other ones were left white, and those towels were in fact white, so there's no stira between the two. Apparently we don't follow this custom, because we wear, when someone is an iftar, we go with the minig to wear white shrouds. And the Gemara continues, now Rabbi Shmuel Omer Mekalfin. Rabbi Shmuel says we're allowed to fold it. You're allowed to fold it begadim from Yom Kippur till Shabbos, v'chavei Shabbos can be Yom Kippur, and the fast of the Shabbos can be offered on Yom Kippur, that if Yom Kippur was Motei Shabbos, you could bring those the fats on Yom Kippur. V'losho Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, again over there we mentioned that Yom Kippur can't be offered on Shabbos, and Rabbi Kiva went to disagree over there, and he said, you're not allowed to bring the ones from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, or the ones from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this machlokas by quoting the Gemara. The Gemara says over here, Tanur Rabbanu, we learn in Rabbisa, Ola Shabbos b'Shabbat. The Pasuk says that this is going to be the Ola of each Shabbos on its own Shabbos. Now apparently, based on the Ritva, we have a Reboy, the fact that we're already discussing the whole concept of bringing the Korbanos on Shabbos, and now the Torah is going out of its way to say, Ola Shabbos, that this is the Shabbos. However, there's also a Miot. The Miot is B'Shabbos, so on its Shabbos. So what is going to come to include and what is going to be excluded is the subject of the debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Where it says, Limed al Chelve Shabbos, this is teaching you that when it comes to the fats of Shabbos, that they're allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur. That meaning, if Yom Kippur is going to fall on a Sunday, it's going to be mutter to bring the korban of the leftover fats on Shabbos. That is what we're going to learn over here, because again, so the Gemara says, Yachol Af Shal Yom Kippur on Shabbos. I would assume that based on this also, then it's going to be mutter to bring the fats of a Shabbos korban on Yom Kippur that has been, I would have thought that you could assume then even the fats of Yom Kippur, which was going to be on Shabbos, Tavod Lomar. So then the Pasuk says, B'Shabbos, only on its Shabbos is this, therefore telling you that That it's going to be usher to bring the leftover fats from Kippur on Shabbos. Divrei Shmuel, that is what we learned from Rishmuel. Because of the miut, again, Shabbos, so only on its Shabbos is the miut. And the Rivei was Ola Shabbos, was telling you that you're allowed to bring the Shabbos even on Yom Kippur. Gemara says Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ola Shabbos, but Shabbos is teaching you limit al chalbe Shabbos, shekrivim biyom tov. Now this is only going to be teaching, the Rivei is only referencing the fact that the fats of Shabbos, if Mutzi Shabbos is a Yom Tov, you're allowed to bring the fats on that Mutzi Yom Tov that Saturday night. Again, the chalavim are only allowed that Saturday night, the next day they become nosar. So then the Gemara says, I would have thought based on that, if it's allowed on Yom Tov, so maybe so too it's going to be allowed on Yom Kippur. Talmud Lover of Shabbos, so he's using the word of Shabbos as a miut to exclude Yom Kippur, which is called Shabbos. So therefore, on Yom Kippur, it's going to be usher to bring the fats on Motzi Shabbos, if Motzi Shabbos was Yom Kippur. So the Gemara now says, Kishatimta Lomar. So now, when you look at it and you analyze the situation, the Devar Rabbi Yishmael, Nidar Menedavos Krim V'Yomtov. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, what comes out is that when you can bring Nidar Menedavos, that literally the things that you vowed to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, those are allowed to be brought on Yontes. Rashi quoted there's a machlokas in Beta Daf Yotes. Rabbi Shmuel holds that he must be that he's the one who he holds you're allowed to bring the darim on Yontiv, even though you could have theoretically brought them after Yontiv, they're still going to be allowed to be brought on Yontiv because of Kaval Chomer of the Chalvi Shabbos that are brought on Shabbos, you're allowed to bring them, and then you're allowed to bring them on Motzi Shabbos, you're allowed to bring things on Yom Tov. So therefore, this is going to be coming to include, therefore, at this point, it would be coming to include, you're allowed to bring the Darim Darim on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, therefore, what do I need the Pasuk to tell you? What's the meaning of the Pasuk? The exclusion is therefore coming to tell you that you don't have to bring that you're not allowed to bring, rather, on Yom Kippur. So the Divrei Rabbi Akiva, however, according to Rabbi Akiva, that holds in Darim and Davos in Krivim Yom Tov, that you can't bring any things that you promise to bring to So then, I would have thought that just as it's usher to bring these korbanos on Yom Tov, it's also going to be usher to bring the chelavim on Motzei Shabbos as well. Therefore, v'chiyitzrika, you need lemishav Yom Tov. The pasuk is going to come to tell you that it's permitted to bring on Yom Tov the fats of Shabbos. That if Yom Tov is on Motzei Shabbos, then you can bring the fats as well. And since the pasuk is needed to teach you that heter, so then there would be no gzeras hakasav. There would be no lima to tell you that it's mutter to bring the chelavim, the fats on Shabbos. On the fats of Shabbos korban on Yom Kippur, in which case, therefore, Rabbi Kiva was going to be machmir. So the Gemara says, "Amrei Rabbi Zera, but Rabbi Zera said, turning on to the next summer there, ki havina bebavel havei amrei. When I was in Bavel, I used to say, hadisana that which we learned in the Brisa Yom Kippur shechal yos erev Shabbos. If Yom Kippur fell out on Friday, lo yu token they would not blow the shofar. Remember, we saw this idea of blowing the shofar in Daf Lamed Hey. The Gemara told us, quoted the Brisa over there, that that they used to do this in order to prepare for Shabbos. They'd blow six different tekios, three were before to stop their work, to stop malachas and do the final preparations for getting Shabbos, and the third of it mamish to tell you that it's now beginning Shabbos. So the Brisa is telling you that if Yom Kippur fell on a Friday, the shofar is not blown because Yom Kippur is the same kedusha as Shabbos, and therefore there's going to be no reason to blow it. There's nothing that you should be stopping because you're not allowed to do anything less on Shabbos that you'd be doing on Yom Kippur. Everything's the same. If it fell out on Motzei Shabbos on Sunday, lo yehu mavdilin, they wouldn't say Havdalah, right? We normally assume that you say Havdalah, even the Gemara learns out that even you say it from on Yontiv, because Shabbos is more Kedusha than Yontiv, right? Shabbos has more, first of all, Issa Dereisis or Skila, and Melachas Bishol. Bishol is Mutter on Yontiv, so therefore we end up saying Mavdil Kodesh Chodesh, but in the day, as we know, Yakin has, like we do make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos that falls out, that's going to be Yontiv. So now when it comes to Yom Kippur, we don't do it, we don't make Havdalah on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Divrak, I used to think, that everyone's going to agree to that. I didn't think that this ruling of the Baisa would be anyway connected to Machlokas, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Shmuel about the Chalav. And the Gemara says how Kisil Hasam, when I went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkech El Yehuda, Breda, Rabbi Shimon, and Pazi, Diyosi, Vikamar, I saw Rabbi Akiva, I saw Rabbi Yehuda and Pazi, and he told me that this Baisa is only going to follow Shitas Rabbi Akiva, because apparently, according to Rabbi Kiva, he assumed that the din of Yom Kippur is going to be the same as Shabbos, and therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, he's going to assume that the burning leftover fats on Shabbos on Yom Kippur is also going to be usher, and both ways are going to be usher, so we're going to assume that there's the same level. However, dear Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Kevan de Amar Chalvi Shabbos Kriven Biyom Kippurin, since Rabbi Shmuel holds that the leftover fats of Shabbos are allowed to be brought in Yom Kippur, and they should blow the shofar in order to tell people that they should know that the leftover fats of Shabbos can be offered on Yom Kippur. So that would really actually point out that that's not necessarily for this year, right? Because this year we're referring to when Yom Kippur was falling out on Friday, and then Shabbos was Shabbos is going to be the day which we're discussing, but what, with the whole heter is for when Shabbos is the first day, Yom Kippur is Motzei Shabbos, in that case you can bring the korban. So yeah, we're just reminding you that, just so you know, the Kiddusha of Shabbos, the Kiddusha of Yom Kippur in this regard has one less, has a kula, and therefore to teach you for future years, you have to just blow the shofar to remind people that there's different halachas. So v'amin le'ana, and I said to him that there's no reason, Kohanim's reason, why, who is this halacha for? It's really for the Kohanim. And they are very careful, and that we know that Rashi quotes the Pasuk, that they know how to learn, because the Pasuk says that they teach Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk tells us, Yoru mishpatach liYaakov, that they teach Klal Yisrael. They're Beki, and Rashi says. So therefore, they're careful. So the Gemara says, Gemara continues, Amrle, is that really true? The Gemara says, Amrle, Mark Shisha, Bered, Rav Chista, Rav Ashi, Miyam, Minan, Kohanim's reason. Do we really assume that Kohanim are really so careful? The Gemara says, Vatan, the Mishnah tells, meaning, and we would change the Xer based on that, we're not gonna be there. The Mishnah tells us that what Rashi says, that there used to be 21 shofar blowings, and on Friday they used to blow 6 for the people. Gemara says, Shlosh la'avdil sa'am melacha, and there used to be 3 to stop the people from work. Shlosh la'avdil ben kolish l'chol, and 3 to distinguish between the meaning to Shabbos and Shabbos and the rest of the week. So assuming those 3 blasts were in the base of Mikdash, they were probably bepashtas for the Kohanim also to remind them that they shouldn't be doing malacha on Erev Shabbos. But if there was reason, as you say, then why should you have to be careful? They obviously knew to make sure to be careful for Shabbos. They would be stopping doing malacha an hour before Shabbos, whatever it might be. But why do you have to blow to remind them to stop doing malacha? The Gemara says, Rabbi, l'shar amadu shalayim. As Abaye had said in different contexts, they're referring to the shar amadu shalayim. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yuma, which tells us that Honi al Malka, she made a nivreshes zahav, this beautiful golden, like it was this, was a golden like candelabra type of thing, in which when the sun rays would shine on it, there would be the time, it would remind everyone that was the time to say Kriyat Shema. So then the Gemara asked a kasha though, but the Gemara said over there that if you read Kriyat Shema with the Anshei Mishmar, you're not Yotze. So Abai answered that no. So why do you need both? The Gemara answered that was I thought they read earlier. So the Gemara, Abai answered no, there was Sharam Abishalayim, that the Nivresh Shahab was there to remind other people to say Kriyat Shema. However, the Anshei Mishmar would say it earlier. Agav, that Gemara was extremely important, because that's where Rabbi Tam holds that lechatchila are not supposed to be saying Kriyat Shema before sunrise, because we see clearly that the Vreshes Hashav was the reminder that was only after the sun had already risen to say Kriyat Shema. But the Gemara's point is right now that Abaye answered that steer by saying that the Vreshes Hashav was a reminder to say Kriyat Shema only for the other people and not for the Kohanim. So Gemara answers so too. Here too, we're discussing the shofar was sounded for the rest of the people in Yerushalayim and not for the Kohanim. They knew not to do malacha. So the Gemara now says, "Veliska ki heichid le'ad vazirik min amin chalmala." But they should blow the shofar in order to tell people that it's going to be Yom Kippur. There's another chul over here that you're allowed to trim the vegetables. And that's something that's normally going to be also on Shabbos. It's going to be permitted on Mincha, from Mincha and onwards to do it on Yom Kippur. What are you referring to over here? That apparently, Rashi points out they used to cut like the outer spoiled leaves for the vegetables that had been harvested, so the vegetables would be ready to be eaten later. So normally there'd be a dinder abanan of preparing for the weekday, just like there's a dinder abanan of preparing for the weekday on Shabbos. We're going to see potentially it might be a deray, so we'll get to that in a moment. But the Gemara is assuming right now there's a dinder abanan, yet the abanan are permitted it in the afternoon of Kippur. The reason that they're going to permit it, Rashi points out, is because of the idea of inoy, that they're supposed to be distressed. That's one of the chamesh inoyim, that the whole idea is to be to make yourself inoy, to ma'ane yourself in Yom Kippur. So too, when you see the food, you smell the food, it's going to be increasing your inoy, so that's why it's mutter in this circumstance. So that's something that's only mutter on Yom Kippur, but on Shabbos it's going to be preparing for Chol, which is usher on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yosef, l'bi she'in dochen shvus lahatir," because they didn't blow the shofar, which is a din derabanan. Again, because of gzeir shami yisak and kleshir, a person not allowed to play music. Why don't you play a guitar on Shabbos or any other instrument? Because we're afraid you're going to come to me with sak and kleshir, come to do malacha deraisa, fixing it. So now, generally, that's a din derabanan of playing an instrument. So here, that was waived in this circumstance in order to remind people not to do malacha. So that was only not to do malacha. But here, to do this, to be matir something, Rav Yosef says that we never find anywhere that they blow the shofar in order to do that. And we're a different possibility. Rav Shisha, Breder of Idiomar, he gives a different answer. Shvus, Krova, Yitiru. The Rabbanan only allowed notifying people for something that's immediately going to be mutter. However, Shvus, Rechokal, Yitiru, too. They didn't permit something that is going to be mutter at a later point. Rav Shisha's understanding that the Didra Rabbanan over here is actually, even to make something mutter, is going to be permitted. However, here, in this circumstances, he's assuming that in the case over here, that it's only for it's going to be immediate practice. Here, it's going to apply when people do something at a later point. So therefore, since it's a later point, which is not the case this year, so then that's not shayach. The Gemara says, Ushvus krovei too, but did they permit something by notifying something that was immediately going to be mutter? Hatznan. We learn in the Mishnah, Yom Tov Shechalios Erev Shabbos. If Yom Tov falls out on Friday, Tolkien v'lo Mavdilin. You're allowed to blow the shofar, but we don't say Havdalah. So what's going on over here? That we're assuming right now that when the shofar is blown on Shabbos, to tell people that you're allowed to make sure that you're not allowed to do bishul anymore. So that's why you don't make Havdalah, because it's more kadosh. Shabbos is more kadosh than Yom Tov, so you don't make Havdalah. However, Motzei Shabbos, if Yom Tov falls out on Motzei Shabbos, Mavdilin v'lo Sokin, that they blow, they say Havdalah, right? We know when we say Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, and Motzei Shabbos that's also Yom Tov. However, they didn't blow the shofar. The Gemara asks if that's the case, of Vamai, why don't they blow the shofar? They're allowed to do malachas, right? You're allowed to do any malacha that's going to help prepare the food. So you're going to do shechita, and that's mutter to shech the animal in order to prepare your food. So then why shouldn't that they blow the shofar in order to remind you that that's mutter? The Gemara says, Elam Chotel, Rav Yosef, you're right. Therefore, if they assume that the first going on to the first of Yosef, that we never make a heter, we never blow the shofar in order to tell you something's mutter, only to prevent you from doing an iser. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Le, Amar Rav Abba, Rav Huna. Yom Kippur Shechal Yos B'Shabbes. Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos. Asher B'Nekiv Azirak. That trimming the vegetables is going to be asher to do this on Shabbos. As we mentioned before, during the weekday, because it's a din of Inoy, it was going to be mutter. However, on Shabbos, we're assuming that the Zera never was lifted, even though there's a concept of Inoy and increasing your Inoy in Yom Kippur. But since it's Shabbos, the din Rabbanan was not lifted, and it's still going to be asher. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mana Tana. We learn in Mishnah, Minayin Yom Kippur Shechal Yos B'Shabbes. Asher B'Nekiv. Where do we see that on Shabbos that falls out on Yom Kippur, it's usher to cut the vegetables? The Gemara says, Tamalumar Shabbos, and the Pasuk says, Shabbason, Shavuos, that you should rest, which is teaching you that cutting the vegetables is going to be usher even if it's Yom Kippur as well. The Gemara says, Lamai, what case is this talking about? To analyze in which case we're talking about the vegetables over here, Ilim and the Malacha, if you're assuming we're talking about the Malacha, the Haksiv, but the Pasuk says, Lo Sasek Malacha, it tells you you shouldn't do any work. So since already telling you that it's usher to do any work with the Raisa, there's no need for you to tell you the rest of Shabbason. The Gemara says, Elon, Nikivas Yarek, so Yarek, we're talking over here, they're trimming the vegetables. That's what that this is the Brisa telling you that there's going to be pashtus and Isidur Reisa to do it on Shabbos. And where it says Amar Abchia Bar Amar Echam Yochanan Yom Tov Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos, that if Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, Mutter Menekivas Yerek. He says that it's Mutter. So the Gemara says, Mesiv, they asked him from this price, so the Menayin Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos, Asher Menekivas Yerek. Talmud Lomar Shabbos, and again, we quote the Pasuk of Asher, Shavuos, you should rest. Gemara Mamash quotes the whole thing. Lamai, what is this referring to? Ilam Lamalacha, if you're assuming that this is referring to the Dinder Reis of Malacha, Vahak Siv, Lo Sasek Malacha, the Pasuk says you shouldn't do any work. Elalav Menekivas Yerek. So what we started that trimming the vegetables, that's going to be Isser Mede Reisa based on this Breisa. So how, Rabbi Yochanan, are you going to argue on the Breisa? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan will say, Lo, Olam la malacha. No, the Breisa is referring to actually doing the malacha, the cutting vegetables is asr. Velavar la be'ese velosa. So you're going to be violating that someone does this malacha on Shabbos is going to be violating not just a din daraisa losa, but also essay as well. Okay, according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to the proof of Rabbi Yochanan, Amir Tashem tomorrow.